father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Take the day off work. Play a fun round of golf with us at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And the occasional invitational presented by SiteJab.com. It benefits kids' meals. So come on, let's go. Sign up. This year's tournament is going to take place June 14th, 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer is going to receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. I gotta warn you, too, though. I work blue in that award ceremony. I do work blue. I'm going to be there. I'm thinking I'm going to put this out there right now.
What's the date?
June 14th.
You're not playing.
I'm playing.
As soon as you have your first swing and you clinch your side, it's over. Re-injured.
It hurts right now.
They didn't fully fuse. Yeah.
But
are you going to let your bones actually fuse together?
I am.
Your ribs?
I am.
Well, how are you going to do that?
I don't think that forcibly hitting the ground is going to matter in my swinging. I don't think. For those of you who don't know, I broke a couple of ribs last week.
Ask a doctor if you should come back inside of a month.
Oh, he'll say no, but you know what? He doesn't know me. I'm like I told you. Wow. I'm like Wolverine.
I feel this.
Is he like the Kobe Bryant of sports radio host where he plays through the pain?
Well, not only that, but I'm the fast healer. You seen Wolverine? And then he gets cut, and then it just heals up right away? That's like me.
Why don't you just like take your time? You can be there, mingle with the
Yeah,
the
I can play golf too.
But no,
RJ,
you can't.
Why are you trying to take away my right to golf?
You can't play golf.
I have rights, RJ.
Now, we talked about it yesterday.
Don't take away my rights.
Lance said that you could play a different kind of golf.
Disc golf, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, everybody, disc golf.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
what
fun.
Would Dick Harmon think of disc golf?
Oh, unbelievable.
Oh, he's playing.
He's
throwing
a
frisbee.
Frisbee for a driver.
And you call that golf.
Oh, and the one frisbee's called a putter. Can you imagine having a frisbee called a putter? It's stamped on the frisbee.
Oh.
Another one's a driver?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, just pathetic.
You have how many different frisbees do you have in your bag?
I have like five. I don't have many at all.
So I use
You have a driver, you have a mid range, which I rarely use, and then you have a putter.
Why? A putter's little?
No, it's harder. It doesn't curve as much. It stays straight. It's heavier.
Oh, well.
And it's
this is so not interesting.
No, you asked a question, okay, so let's go through it. You have a whole backpack. There are guys who have, I'm not joking, 25 in there?
What?
30?
It's a 14-club limit.
It's unbelievable. I don't know. And I'm just not good enough. I just think, I'm going to throw this one as far as I can, and I'm going to try to throw this one as close as I can, and then I'm going to try to get it inside the chains with this one. What's the difference? But the guys that are really good, I guess, they say, okay, this one has a tendency to
Well, you can hook, you can fade.
Yeah, some of them will draw a little bit more. Yeah. Those are guys who are real... Like a golfer who recognizes he has different things he can do with different clubs. Well, just like your average golfer gets out there and like, I'm just going to hit it. I hope to hit it straight.
Yeah.
That's how I am with disc golf. But people who are good at it can look at, you know, there's numbers on it and tells you how. Because some of them you have to be able. Okay, I'll give you an example. Some of them that have a high velocity number or whatever, if you can't throw it, if you're not twitchy and can't throw it really hard and create a lot of speed, if you can, it'll go way further. If you can't, it won't go further. It'll go shorter. Well, the same thing when you have the stiff shaft or whatever, you got to be able to generate, or no, is it the stiff shaft or the other one that has more flexion, where you've really got to be able to get the club head through.
Faster your swing, the stiffer it should be.
Yeah. So if you have a stiff shaft and you have a slow swing, it's not always going to be great for
not
you.
Not a good combo.
It's the same thing with disc golf. They've got some that, unless you can really whip it, you don't want to use this kind. But if you really can, it'll go way, way further. It's the same thing with the shaft. If you can really get the – because I used to be able to get the club head through pretty quick when I was like in my 20s and early 30s. Maybe not
well,
so much
until
now.
Until you started throwing your clubs on the
Did you see how fast
range.
I threw it, though?
Yeah.
Into the water?
That's all. No. That was actually on the course you threw your club. You were throwing clubs on the driving range. That's true.
Well, and into the water.
Right, then into the water on hole number one. That's how level-headed you are playing golf. I'm looking at it's unbelievable, Lance. Look at this. This is Trey Lance. He's throwing to so he gets the snap in a shotgun, and there's nobody there, and he's throwing. Watch, he's going to throw a pass, and a guy is standing there, and the guy catches it. And they this guy put out Trey Lance perfection 3 for 3, and he's just throwing it to guys that are standing there.
That has to be a joke. So I saw people do that with Justin Fields. Justin Fields was throwing with Colin Kaepernick at a workout, and somebody was like, dimes. You know, they were. I mean, it was. You don't even know. Like, some of them were jokes, I think.
Yeah. Andy Drew retweeted and said, this is unreal.
This has to be. If it's not comedy.
Are they making fun of Justin Fields?
Yeah. Maybe. I want to believe that's the case. Because if it is, it's very comedic and it's funny. But there were people who were like, oh, my God, that's my quarterback. Like Bears fans who were watching, and it were the same throws. It was like an 11-yard throw to a guy, and it was the most basic. It's like somebody making a chest pass. It's like somebody going, oh, my God, did you see Jalen's chest pass? Whoa, that's my shooting guard. It's unbelievable how excited people want to get over their quarterbacks. Instead of playing a game, you just – Oh, yeah. Did you see him drop back and throw another uncovered guy who didn't even have pads on and a helmet? Amazing.
Did you see him throw those
lasers?
Assistant trainers? Wow. That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. So that's good. That is good stuff. I mean, everybody, though, all of them, they put out their quarterback. There's Deshaun. There's all of them have got their quarterback play and just – wow, throwing dimes with nobody on the receivers against air. Unbelievable. How are they doing it?
This is unreal.
And there's
he talking about this is unreal that somebody actually put that report that put that out there on Twitter?
I think Art brings up a pretty good point. I'm watching Davis Mills walk out to practice. Should his nickname be Neck? Neck Mills? I mean, he is kind of giraffish.
Because y'all say ugly things about Neck.
At
LSU games.
At LSU games, yeah.
So I don't think so.
I don't know that he wants to be associated with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I wouldn't call him Neck Mills. I don't feel like it's a nickname you want to stick.
Okay, CBS Sports put this out. Davis Mills will throw blank touchdown passes next season.
21.
I'm going to go higher.
You usually do.
Yeah? No. Well, I got them winning, I think, 12 games. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure, I think.
Now, Davis Mills didn't start the whole year last year. He had 16, so I might be low. He had 16 touchdowns and wasn't even a 17-game starter.
Yeah.
So maybe I say year two. I still feel like 22.5 is not a crazy number.
I'm going to go over that. I mean, 17 games now instead of, yeah.
What if I'm at 24?
I'm going higher.
26.5.
You know, there was a time, how long did it take the Texans to get 30 touchdown passes?
Took forever.
Yeah, I think there might be only one or two seasons that a Texans quarterback threw for 30 touchdown passes.
Give me a solid quarterback. Let's look at Derek Carr. Derek Carr came into the league, was solid right off the bat. He's had an uptick. How many? I don't know the answer to this. I'm just looking it up. How many touchdowns? What were his touchdown numbers year one, year two, year three? What do you think? I don't know the answer, so I'm not setting you up.
Okay. His first year in the league, Derek Carr.
Because I've already said if Davis Mills were Derek Carr, I'd be reasonably pleased.
Derek Carr's first year in the league was probably 17.
Let's see. Hold on. Career.
And last year was probably 28.
His first year in the league was 21.
21. Oh, that's pretty good.
Second year, 32. Third year, 28. Fourth year, 22. Fifth year, 19. Last year, 23. 17 games, he had 23 touchdowns.
Wow.
Way less than you thought, isn't it?
Yeah.
He threw for 4,800 yards and 23 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. Ain't that great? And he just got $1 billion for 23 and 14.
What's Davis Mills?
23.
Gonna, what's Davis Mills going to make after 16 and 10 last year?
So in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years as a starter in the NFL, where he has played at least 15, he's played 16, 16, 15, 15, 16, 16, 17. He's only missed 2 games. He's had 3 seasons where he has ended up with 23 or fewer touchdowns. 23, 19, 22. I'm sorry, 4. So more than half of his seasons, he's had 23 touchdowns or
so
less.
So now would you be happy with would you be happy with him being Derek Carr now?
I'm going to yeah, because I think that's as a third-round quarterback, yeah. But see, I've always felt like the Raiders can do better than Derek. I feel like Derek Carr is a devil you know quarterback, which is, you know, kind of shabby. I like Derek Carr more than Schaub, and I think Derek Carr is solid. And I do think Derek Carr started playing much better football when John Gruden came in. And you say whatever you want about John Gruden, but he got him to start looking down the field a little bit more. His yards per attempt went from 5.5 his rookie year to 7 to 7 to 6.8. Then Gruden came in 7.3, 7.9, 7.7. He's thrown for over 4,000 yards in each of his last 3 seasons. But, you know, 19 touchdowns, 27 touchdowns, and 23 touchdowns with over 4,000 yards, that is super shabby. That's Houston Texans type stuff. 19 touchdowns, 27 touchdowns, 23 touchdowns. So he's had 69 touchdowns over the last 3 years and 33 interceptions. I mean, that's okay.
It's all right.
That's okay.
Now, how much did he get in the offseason?
He got a ton. That's the problem. Yeah. You're paying these guys with those numbers, that kind of money? That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Like, in Derek Carr, does he show you any ability to be the get-you-over-the-hump guy, to put the team on his back, though? Does he show you that ability? No, not to me.
I don't know.
Very few quarterbacks are.
I wouldn't mind Derek Carr as my quarterback.
I wouldn't either, but for how much? If it prevented you from getting other players at other positions?
Well, it didn't prevent you from getting Devontae Adams. You've got one of the best tight ends in the game. You've got a really good running back. Your defense needs a lot of help.
They didn't even pick up Josh Jacobs' fifth-year option. How about that? They're letting him leave after this year.
Well, they still got him this year.
Yeah, they got him this year, but they didn't pick up his fifth-year option.
Yeah.
Which is maybe a testament to the fact he's been out at different times. Maybe it's a testament to the fact that they know that Devontae and Derek Carr, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
You're just not going to pick up a running
back.
We'll draft
to do some with that defense. Whew. All right, it's 8:14 ESPN 97.5 and 92, although they did pick up the defense.
They got Max Crosby, too, they had to pay.
Then Chandler Jones.
They spent a bunch of money for him. Yeah. Oh, it's kind of a make or break year. They've chunked some money into that roster.
Hell yeah. 8:14.
Kind of like the Texans.
I need an offer pad.
Offer pad. So what is offer pad? How does offer pad work? I went through the process. I wanted to see what it's like. Super easy. You go to the website offerpad.com and they will ask you a few different questions. And then if they have some additional questions, they'll get on the phone with you and ask you about, you know, they have to assess your home. And here's why. With OfferPad, they assess your home because they're going to make you a cash offer. And this cash offer is not going to be like the people who call you on the phone and they want to try to find the lowest. No, they're looking for legitimate prices for legitimate homes. What this allows you to do is get a real cash price offer. You can take that offer and instantly ignore showings, getting your home ready to sell, which ends up costing you thousands in many cases. You get to pick your own closing days. They'll give you a free local move within 50 miles. They will move you absolutely free. And, you know, that costs money as well and certainly costs your time. You don't have to worry about getting your pets out of the home for the showings or the showings basically wrecking your sanity because you don't know when somebody is going to end up coming over. It usually happens just, you know, 30, 40 minutes before you get the phone call and like, well, I guess somebody's going to come over here. We've got to make sure the house is ready to go. Not with OfferPad. OfferPad is going to make you a legitimate offer in a seller's market right now. You're going to make out on this thing, and OfferPad wants to help you do it, and they want to make the process extremely easy for you. Go to OfferPad.com and provide basic information about your home, and OfferPad will send you an all-cash purchase offer within 24 hours. That's OfferPad.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Fun fact, I ain't taking... back. Like it when they pro black, but I'm more caught at black. Tell me where the money at, ay, where the homies at. Universal call out, I can members only that, ay. CC, wait a minute. Ben aquí, c'est la vie, c'est la vie.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Ben aquí, ben aquí, ben aquí. Come here. That means come here, Lance. Ben aquí, ben aquí, ben aquí, ben aquí. Oh, man, Davis Mills throwing to Brandon Cooks on an out.
Dimes.
I mean, and then Brandon Cook scored. Now, no one was guarding him. Well, a coach came up and probably could have picked it, but he did score, okay? I mean, that is sweet. I'm looking forward to this. Stingley, not full participation. Mechie, not full participation. Your Texans are out there just in shirts and shorts. Yeah. Did you see what wide receiver took number 24? Did you see that?
Yeah, Sky Moore.
Sky Moore.
The internet lost their mind like he was not going to be able to play football anymore. Like he tore his tore a ligament.
No! That's a quarterback number!
Like, let that man keep his number from college. Why are y'all stressing? This is a horrific number!
Well,
I swear, we have such... There are people who have no, like...
We are living a really good life.
We are living in a really weird time where people... This is so on your nerves that you have to comment on a guy's number he wears. This isn't the first one. Somebody else had number 31, and, like, Twitter was in just horror for a player who had number 31, and there was an entire thread that, here are the worst numbers that you could possibly wear. Man, it is amazing what drives people to is this real life that people get this upset about a player wearing a number? Is this really is this real life? I don't even know if this is real now.
It is real life. People, for whatever reason, were, he's moved a corner now. Yeah. Sky Moore's a corner now.
Yeah.
Great.
This does it. Like, they're like, ooh. Patrick, like, Pat Mahomes needed any more issues after Tyreek Hill left, and now you're stuck with a wide receiver with number 24. I guess that's a problem. It seems like there's more problems right now for us to worry about than Sky Moore's number.
Davis Dimes. How about that? That's what we need.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Danny's not using it.
Danny's
not using Dimes. He's just Daniel
seven
Jones.
Or eight times a year.
Yeah, I hit that analysis. So I missed on Josh Allen badly. I hit on Daniel Jones, and now we'll see if I hit on Mac Jones, because Mac started off well. He started off average, then was really, really good. And then for some reason, people are really starting to have concerns about Mac Jones. I don't know if it's faux concerns or real concerns. I can't even tell anymore with the way people create. That's what's weird. The content creation stuff has become... It's not even, sometimes it's not real. It's just, hey, let's talk about this. Let's put out there, you know, hey, one guy that I'm not sure if he's a dude is Mac Jones. All right, let's explore that for today's topic. Mac Jones looked pretty good last year. He looked pretty good for a rookie quarterback.
Really good.
I was not a big Mac Jones fan. I do question some of the arm strength stuff, but we'll see. He looked pretty good for a while.
Who takes the biggest step of those second year quarterbacks? Got to be Trevor Lawrence. Got to be.
He's immensely talented, and he had a bad year.
And he gets Travis Etienne back.
So people are bringing up this point, the fantasy football people. So I'm like this running back guru to the fantasy clique because my film grades. So they're. This is pretty impressive. There's the fantasy set now on Twitter, the hardcore fantasy guys. They take different metrics that I didn't even know about, and they include this metric, my film grade, which they've turned into a number, and then they create formulas for who are the guys that you target who are rookies, and even second-year guys and third-year guys. And So I get tagged in all these conversations, and there was a big argument about, well, Lance had this grade on Etienne. I had a 6-7, which is a high grade. Might as well be like a, you know, a top 15 type pick. That's the kind of talent I think he has. And then they had a whole argument. Another guy was pointing out other running backs that I was supposedly high on previously. I had a good grade on Jordan Howard, and I was right on Jordan Howard in the short term over the first 3 years. Somebody pointed out Carlos Hyde. I didn't even write Carlos Hyde. That was Nolan Araki. But anyway, so they were having arguments. Well, what would Lance's grade be? And I'm literally tagged in this conversation. What would Lance's grade be if he knew that there was a Liz Frank injury? I mean, Liz Frank injury. Because this entire argument was based on athletes only come back at 87% supposedly once they've had a Liz Frank injury. Well, guess who else had a Liz Frank injury? Derek Stingley. Mm. Derek Stingley had one too. And their entire argument was whether or not Etienne was going to come back at the level that I predicted he would be when he came out in the draft because he suffered a Liz Frank injury and now he was out for a year and you don't come back fully at 100% from that. That's whatever. Somehow that was the argument on Twitter. And I was like, yeah, you know, let's wait and see how it plays out. There hasn't been a ton of these. This is a small sample size. Let's see how it plays out. And I started realizing, wait a minute. That's supposedly the injury that – now, I say supposedly because there was a time where Derek Stingley wasn't even supposed to run and or work out at all, and he did run, and he did work out. He went through most of the workouts at his pro day. So, you know, I do have questions if Derek Stingley suffered through well, you know when I hurt my foot, actually? This is the difference. Remember when I was trying to stop that purse snatcher in Mobile, Alabama?
Yeah.
And hurt my foot?
Remember when you tried to walk over a curb? Yeah.
I had Liz Frank, but it was a grade one.
So are you don't 80% have a separation of yourself right now?
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate.
You think so?
I didn't have the grade two, which is where the bone separates and comes apart. I had grade one, which is not as severe. Hurts, tremendous amount of swelling, can cause issues in the future. I came back actually really strong after that. Mm-hmm. I had a boot on mm-hmm. longer than I should have. The doctor said, mm-hmm. hey, why are you still in that boot? I'm like, because it feels good. It feels better to walk in a boot. Yeah, you got to start strengthening your foot. You need to immediately take that off. Your foot, your entire, your foot and your ankle and everything is atrophying. You got to strengthen those muscles. When should I have taken it off? Like a month and a half ago?
Mm.
Oh, mm-hmm. no, that hurts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
You got to walk on it. So to your point, John, about your ribs, maybe it is important that you play golf right away, you know, a month and a half before your doctor tells you to.
Yeah.
Maybe no, I it's think the best right. way for you to start
See,
the healing.
To strengthen, yeah. to strengthen my ribs.
Strengthen the ribs.
Yeah. No.
Let people get just a little, not hard ones, just a little body shots. Just like, let no, Brendan Langley come over and maybe punch in the, you slap him and let and just say, look. No face stuff. I'm going to punch you in the chest. You hit me in the ribs.
Brendan Langley hitting me in the ribs. That's
something.
That was
something. The guy that beat up but the United.
I don't. I got my set of clubs in the garage, and I took a couple of swings yesterday. I didn't hit the ground. Took a couple of swings just to see where we were. We're still a little ways away. Still a little ways away. But we're going to get there. Man, some ugly things being said about Mac Jones. Mac Jones was a nice quarterback last year.
What's ugly being said about him?
Oh, this.
What did he do?
He was. I don't know. I don't know that he touched one of our listeners in a bad place.
Are we saying ugly things about Justin Fields as well, who was truly, or Trevor Lawrence? Trevor was bad. Justin Fields was horrific. Are they getting bad things thrown at them?
Mm-mm.
No?
The second-year quarterbacks. You could argue that Davis Mills was probably the second best of all the rookie quarterbacks last year. That's actually arguable.
No, it's accurate.
It's accurate.
It's not arguable.
Yeah.
It's accurate.
Yeah, it was Mac Jones, and then it was Davis Mills. Uh-huh. The order this
then
year.
It was Trevor Lawrence. Oh, this year?
No. Then it was Trevor Lawrence.
Justin Fields was last. Next to last. Trey Lance was last. Oh no. Well, even Trey had some positive plays. Justin had very few. Might be Trey last. I mean, Trey next to last.
Or
Justin
what?
Last.
What the odds are though?
That Zach Wilson sucked also.
Yeah,
I mean Zach stunk.
But Justin Fields was worse.
Yeah.
I
mean, they were both terrible. Which degree of terrible? Both of their performances. And some of it is mitigated by, you know, look, there wasn't great offensive line play for either one of those guys. The left tackle was out for much of the year, Mekhi Becton for the Jets. And the wide receiver situation wasn't great for the Jets.
Good enough.
We know Fields didn't have an offensive line. So neither one of those guys had optimal situations.
So this year, Trevor Lawrence, you like Trevor Lawrence best?
I think the best year will be
I'll tell you
had,
what, though.
I'll go
is
Matt
Trey Lance going to start?
Yes, I think he will.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not sure, but I think he will.
I'm not sure either, because if he screws up, I can certainly see. I mean, Jimmy's still there, right, as far as we know?
Jimmy's the devil you know quarterback, too, yeah. Over the devil you don't. But at some point, you got to get Trey. Trey only had 1 year of college football as a starter. At some point, and he had one game his junior year, and it wasn't a good one. That's it. I mean, he's played very little football. He's got 1 year of starting experience, basically. He didn't – his last year of football in 2020, he played one game during the pandemic year. He had one game in 2020. In 2021, he wasn't a starter. He basically hasn't played – he's basically played like 1 year of football.
They need to get him on the field.
In 3 years.
They need
to get
him
on the field. Yeah, you got to start getting him some reps.
Yeah, well, you know, Davis –
he's got immense talent. I think he's the second most talented of all the quarterbacks. That's how I had it.
Trey Lance?
Yeah, I had it. Trevor Lawrence 1, Trey Lance 2. Trey's also on a very quarterback-friendly offense. Third, I had Zach Wilson as a boomer bust. I had Justin Fields behind him as a late first to early. I had him slightly ahead of Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett. And then Mac Jones I had behind those guys. And then Davis Mills I had as like a 61, which would be a high-end backup, low-end starter. So hopefully I'm wrong on Davis. Looks like there's a chance I might be. I'm hoping I am because it's much better for the. And sometimes you find the Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins is much maligned, but Kirk Cousins was a third-round pick. The same year they had a first-round pick with RG3.
Fourth-round pick.
A fourth-round pick who has ended up becoming an extremely, you know, I know what the narrative is, that Kirk Cousins is this just horrific quarterback that you don't even know how he's even in the league anymore. And then you look at his stats and you look at Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. Any fantasy football owner will tell you he ain't that bad.
No.
Kirk Cousins, just you can't get over the hump. You can't trust him in a big game. But Kirk Cousins can put some numbers up. So Kirk Cousins is not this horrific quarterback. He's actually fairly accurate. He just doesn't have what it takes to win at the highest level. He doesn't have what it takes to win at a higher than you'd like level either.
Yep.
A lot of it is just a lot of stat pad filling. He might be James.
James Harden?
Is James Kirk Cousins?
No, James Harden is a much bigger and...
No, I know all that. I know all that.
Speaking,
James has been an MVP
sports,
and yeah. all that stuff. I get that. But Kirk James Cousins puts up great numbers throughout the year, right?
Yeah.
Now, what does he do when the
big
games
hit? Yeah, but
James
plays well in a regular season against good teams. Kirk Cousins had
Yeah, that's
forever.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair.
How water, it's always performing. H-O-W, how, hyper-pure oxygenated water. And, you know, Lance is talking about, I mean, how are you gonna play frisbee golf out there? How are you going to do it unless you're hydrated? You just can't, all right? It's a proprietary process that hyper-pure oxygenates this water. And, listen, you're not going to find this anywhere else. And when you are playing, if you're going to drink regular water, that's all fine. But why not get water that is actually going to help you more than regular water? If you're outside, you need and you want to perform, you're playing golf, you're drinking beers. In between, drink some how water so that you are actually hydrating and your golf performance or whatever performance is going to be at a top notch. Because if you are dehydrated, you are not going to perform as well, period, exclamation point. And how, H-O-W, hyper-pure oxygenated water, helps you get there. And, oh, by the way, the aluminum is totally, totally sweet, and it's infinitely recyclable. So if you're looking for this water, drink how, H-O-W, drinkhowwater.com, drinkhowwater.com, and get 20% off when you put in John 20. Drinkhowwater.com. They'll deliver it to your house. Drinkhowwater.com, John 20.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again.
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
No, still ahead, Mike Giardi is going to join us from the NFL Network. He's Lance's arch enemy. So you're leaving at 9, right?
Yeah, I gotta get there. Got an earlier flight than anticipated, I guess because of the weather. Got some weather issues. I hope my wife's not listening because I don't like talking about anything having to do with flying when she's listening. She's not a super huge fan of flying.
Yeah.
Ever since a plane trip we had to Cleveland to go see my parents before we even got married. It wasn't a great flight. And ever since then, she's got to have a little help to fly.
Yeah.
Pop a little something in there.
That's maybe. Fly, not flying, whatever.
You got to fly.
No,
I mean, right. You got to fly. You're not driving everywhere, although she'd like to try to. So now, come to find out, you know, we fly over to see our friends McCool and Kelly in Belize. We haven't been there since 18. I'm going to fly over there and do the show tomorrow from my room in Belize.
But not Friday. Lance, Dell's doing the show.
Dell's going to be in with some good sports talk based on the text messages we have.
Well, I'd be interested to see if his text messages, if he actually follows through with some of the things he said
hear,
on the text.
What Mr. Sports Talk says. But so you fly to Belize City and then you fly over to San Pedro, their island, on a little puddle jumper.
Well, the winds are a little saucy today, so
we'll see how that one goes. She doesn't like puddle jumpers on a perfectly clear, beautiful day
with
zero wind. No, but it's weird because they put it on autopilot, and it literally just follows this line. There's no one even that has to fly the plane. All you have to do is land the plane, which I probably, as I told you, I could probably figure out how to land if I needed to. I think that's something I could do is land a plane. If you needed me to, and you gave me just a little direction, I'm sure I could probably land a prop plane. If she's listening to any of this, it will totally freak her out. She'll be pissed off, and I'll get a text any second now. That will absolutely happen. But prop planes with 30 to 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts, I'm thinking we're going to be on that boat instead that goes over that takes 2 hours instead of 16 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking we may be on the two-hour boat to go over, because if it's windy or if we have a bumpy ride over there in the first place, then I can already tell you that little prop plane, that'll be out. We won't be able to take that. So we'll see how that
nice went. 2 hour boat ride. That'll be fun.
Yeah. We'll see how that
one. That's good fun. I just didn't understand that we're back on the air on 97.5.
Oh, cool.
Congratulations to us.
Hey, way to go.
Only missed an hour and a half of our show. It's good.
Fantastic.
It's awesome. All right. 713-780-3776. The number. If you are here with us, and we apologize once again for having to put you through stuff to listen to us, we apologize. 713-780-3776 is the number to hang out with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, we haven't really, I mean, we got the number 3 overall pick in the NBA draft. We got Jalen Green. We got two first-teamers in back-to-back years, two first-team all-rookies in back-to-back years with Ayshon Tate and then Jalen Green. And we've got possibly Paolo Banchero coming in here. What order do you want them it to be?
Smith, Banchero, Chet. Smith is not going to be. Jabari will be on top two.
It's funny when
there is a chance.
Somebody
Jabari
pointed
Smith
out when everybody thought the Rockets were going to get the first pick. It's Chet Holmgren. Now that it ain't the Rockets picking first. It's Jabari. He's going to be the number one. Jabari's going to be the number one.
Well, see, I haven't heard the Chet Holmgren stuff. I don't know about you, RJ. We bring in our basketball expert and analyst, RJ Saunders. I hadn't heard the Chet Holmgren number one stuff a whole lot. Until the draft lottery where Mike Schmidt, who was their one of their evaluators, started talking about that Chet very well could be the first pick of the draft because he has, you know, the rare ability to shoot threes and block shots. The shot blocking piece is something you don't see a lot in today's NBA, but I think it's just because the way the game's played. That's really all there is to it. And college is still – a lot of college football still played old school college – I mean, college basketball still played old school. So you do have a chance to come in from the backside and get block shots as a backside defender. That's not going to be – I don't think we're going to see that as much in the NBA, even if he's a shot blocker. But the fact that he can handle the ball, can shoot from distance, can block shots, and has that kind of length is a big deal to a lot of teams. I just – it is a turnoff. The body type is a turnoff.
Yeah, I think now that you see with the Orlando Magic having the number one overall pick, I really feel like it's going to go based off of need. If you go with Chet, I mean, basically there's been reports that, you know, Mo Bamba's going to be on the move. I don't know if you want to stay on that Robin Lopez contract. Wendell Carter, he is what he is. So I think that that's probably the reason as to why they are saying Chet with the number one overall pick. But Orlando does need definite help in the scoring department as well. So Jabari Smith may be that guy that – doesn't he almost kind of remind you of Jabari Parker, like how he was in college? Like just like a ready now, got the NBA body, can score any way he wants to.
Yeah, but doesn't have – like there's not a definitive plus-plus in his game where you say, oh, except that he can defend. And not that Jabari Parker couldn't. But I think one of the things that people point out, now he's a mid-range shooter. The mid-range game is not something that's coveted in today's NBA. I mean, you've got to be able to get down in the paint and do something in the paint. You've got to be able to stretch. And then I think he really needs to be a plus rebounder on the pro level. Be able to defend off the bounce, maybe defend multiple positions, and you need to be a good rebounder.
Well, it also seems to me to just swing this over to the Rockets. They really feel like Paolo being that piece to be alongside of Jalen Green is really going to help, I guess, in the long term of, you know, hey, if Paolo works out, now you also have Jalen Green, you also have KPJ. Now Houston's back on the rise again as one of, like, those young, up-and-coming, you know, teams of the future that maybe may be a place where a free agent would like to come. They see the pieces that they have around them, say, hey, you know, we can build around this. We can make something of it. So, you know, I'm glad that Paolo's kind of been, at least right now, under the radar. Everybody, just a consensus seems that he's going to go three, and Jabari Smith and Chet Holmgren have been like that 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. I think if Paolo comes here, I think that Houston's really going to start figuring it out and maybe a playoff team in like two seasons.
Yeah, it's I am really interested. I think that, you know, I'm somebody who does this on the NFL space. I can tell you what happens in the NFL. We'll see if it happens in college. What happens is, I've done this long enough to know that there are certain players that we saw with Trayvon Walker being the first pick. There are certain players who look a certain way, who have certain physical attributes, and have certain athletic attributes, and they get pushed up. Now, the difference in basketball is that skill matters. I mean, it really matters. You don't just say, well, we'll just coach it up. Like, you need to have a certain skill level coming in. But I think Banchero, people are going to look at him, and I think NBA GMs are going to look, and they're going to say, he's big, he's thick-boned, good-muscled, like he has an NBA frame already. He's extremely explosive, can play some three or some four, has multi-position potential with the ability to step out and shoot from distance. I think somebody's going to fall in love with him, and I'm starting to really worry that he's going to be one or two. I think Banchero is maybe not going to go three because teams are going to look at him and say, this is what it looks like. This is what we want the NBA player to look like if they can get there with his skill, if they think his skill level is high enough. So I'm hoping the Rockets get Banchero at three.
I am too. You know what? I think it's a great place to be. Let the other two, but then you don't have to choose. You got whatever's left over.
You can't be blamed for missing.
No, that's right.
Yeah, because there's a clear 1-2-3
and sometimes,
in whatever order.
Sometimes the guy that falls to you, it turns out to be the best. That turns out to be the best way anyway. And there's still a chance that he trades it too, by the way. All right, 713-780. Astros baseball on the other side. Kyle Tucker says he's still open to negotiating a long-term deal. We'll talk about that and more on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, we're talking about the Morley Law Firm, M-O-R-L-E-Y, MorleyLaw.com. If you're looking for that lawyer, you want representation. But you want more than representation. You want somebody that's, well, competent. You want somebody that's going to be on your side. You want somebody that's going to be aggressive. You want somebody, you want that lawyer to be totally in on whatever issue it is that you have. If you have an immigration issue, se habla español, they have an entire department dedicated to immigration. And you know what? They're getting all kinds of calls on this. So if you have someone that you know that has some kind of an immigration problem, you got a DWI, you have some kind of a drug crime, you got any kind of an issue whatsoever, burglary, carrying weapons, whatever it is that you have, you need representation. Hey, everybody needs representation, and you have it right now with the Morley Law Firm because they handle everything. And personal injury, auto accident, 18-wheeler, wrongful death, malpractice, asbestos, whatever the case may be that you have an issue or you need a criminal defense, civil defense, or you need to be aggressive with something that's happened against you. So if you're looking for that kind of representation, see our team over at the Morley Law Firm. Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955, 713-839-9955, or MorleyLaw.com.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get know when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Let's hear Kyle Tucker's three-run homer. I want to hear Todd Kallas on the call. Bags was in the booth last night? Was it Bags in the booth?
Yes,
Bagel. I couldn't hear.
Yeah,
yeah.
I was listening.
Somebody commented about Bags just going off. Bags is good. I think Bags is great.
I think Bags has gotten really good at.
Yeah, yeah.
He and Blum obviously have a good relationship too.
Yeah,
which really helps.
Whenever the Blummer needs some time off, our own Vanessa Richardson. You know, when Todd Kallas takes off, Kevin Eschenfelder moves into the booth, and Vanessa is going to move into the post game.
She's getting 25 games. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's nice. Good
that's
for her.
That's awesome. People forget she's the one. You know, some of you, I'm going to blow you away with this one. Some of you don't know this. Vanessa Richardson is the one who got the interview with Jeff Leno at his house on Channel 2, and everyone was like, oh, my God, Jeff Leno's going to be interviewed after all the trash can stuff jumped off. He was fired. That was Vanessa Richardson who got that interview. She and I talked about how she got it, but it was Vanessa who got that interview. That was her at the home with Jeff Leno. For some of you, you had no idea. I guarantee you. You remember the interview, but you didn't know who Vanessa. I didn't know who Vanessa Richardson was at that time.
No, I didn't either. And that was a huge scoop. Huge.
Huge.
Huge. So that was a great get for her. And this is it's really nice that she's getting. So Bags took over yesterday and for Blummer. He fills in for Blummer, which is awfully nice. But Todd Kallas made this call.
0-2 pitch hit high and deep to right field. All the way back, Mercado. This ball is gone. Three-run home run. First Minute Maid Park home run of the year for Tucker's, a three-run bomb on an 0-2 pitch.
That's nice, an 0-2 pitch, and you're coming into Kyle Tucker. You can't be all that bright. So, looking at this story here, Chandler Rome put out that Kyle Tucker says he does not want prolonged negotiations, but he's open to continued negotiations, whether they take place during the current season or in future seasons. He noted that he's controlled through 2025. Arbitration starts this offseason for him, but they've got player control through 2025, regardless of coming to a deal. It sure would be nice to come to a long-term deal. Now, you did one. It's rare for the Astros to do this. I remember Jerry Hunsaker couldn't have been more pissed when Nomar Garciaparra got a in his second year, got a long term big deal from the Red
People
Sox.
People flipped out.
Yeah.
That was a little early to give a guy that money. Yeah. Like you didn't you can keep him long term without doing that.
It was pretty early to give Bregman one too before his third season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and they did it.
What was the rationale behind
that? Well, he moaned a little bit in the spring training. I remember him coming in and going, "Hey,
moaned about what? This is the way it works.
Well, this is the way it works, but this sucks because I am obviously overplaying, and they wanted to make him happy.
So, what about now?
They gave him
is there going to be a kickback? Well, is there a clawback?
Well, I don't know. Is he living up to that deal?
No, he hasn't lived up to the deal. The last 2 years plus this year, no. That's an easy one.
No, especially since he's going to be a $30 million guy next year.
Yeah, go pull the numbers. Yeah, no, he's not living up to it.
Is Kyle Tucker living up to a deal that you would like to not to avoid arbitration and possibly get into his first couple of years of free agency?
Well, arbitration is still going to be way lower than whatever deal you make, right? Well, you and I both know arbitration numbers are way lower than we ever expect them to be.
Yeah, they are a bit lower.
Well, he's not going to take
Carlos
anything.
Carlos was a $12 million guy last year.
Yeah, he's not going to take anything. Any deal you make with him has to start at $20 million for Kyle.
Well, that's
what you did.
What you did with Bregman. Yeah. $20 million a year.
It has to, the conversation starts at $20 million. Right. And I would guess his agent, depending on his agent's going to say, no, let's do more like 25. We appreciate you doing this early, but we feel like he'll make 13 and a half in arbitration. So we appreciate you giving us early money. We're also giving you additional years. So my guess is it'll be two additional years beyond the arbitration. So it'd be 27. And then for that, you'll need to give him, I think it'll be close to $24 million. I'd do it if I were the Astros. I mean, it looks like their mode is not to keep a guy forever. I think their mode is just to keep a guy extended for as long as they can.
I would hate for him to get through his arbitration years and then get to free agency. I would hate for that to happen. So you're going to have to go. You're going to maybe do a 6-year deal so you get 3 years into his free agency, but you're going to have to do it's going to be at least 20 a year for that. 6-year, 120? I would do that. If I was the Astros, I would do it right now. I'm not sure Tucker does it.
Tucker, you're leaving a lot of money on the table.
Probably.
You're better off taking your 12, 12, 12, and then go out there looking for 30.
Yeah.
Do the number on that. $36 million in your next 3 years at 90. It's similar.
It's right there.
It's similar. Depends on what your arbitration number is. Right there. I would argue his arbitration number should be way higher than Carlos Correa's.
Carlos's
hitting was nothing like
so
Kyle Tucker's from a power standpoint.
From 2019 to 2022, over 1,000 plate appearances, Kyle Tucker is a .278 hitter, .345 on base, .526 slugging.
Yeah,
he's almost a .900 OPS.
Who is
Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, that's way better.
Well, it's .870. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, and this is a 1,000 plate appearances over 2+ years.
Yeah,
or 3+ years. So I think you know what you got in him. Do you want? Listen, if you're going to keep him for 3 extra years, if it's going to be a 6-year deal after this season, the 3 arbitration years plus 3 free agent years, it's going to be at least 20 a year. At least 20 a year. And then probably more. You're right. It's probably going to be more like 22 or more.
Yeah. 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 But I still do it. Anything you can do to buy additional years, especially if you're not going to sign these guys long-term to market values once they're up, you might as well just extend them. It's like getting it's like the franchise tag.
Yep.
In football. I'm starting to believe that Jim Crane just does not fundamentally believe in we'll see who's the guy. Yeah. He's given a long-term deal to that is going to be a lifer. Don't tell me Altuve. Altuve's a different kind of guy. I don't know if there's anyone else that's going to. I don't know if there's anybody else like Altuve who is willing to, who's willing to just take whatever money and just stay with one team forever. George wasn't that guy. Carlos isn't that guy. I don't see Yordan being that guy. I don't see Kyle Tucker.
Well, they got more money elsewhere, so they went. Altuve said, give me my guaranteed money right now. He came from such a place that he was like, give me my guaranteed money now. I'll take it. All right. Mike Giardi joins us on the other side. NFL Network right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I am talking about the big fight coming up. Five-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis defends his WBA lightweight title against number one ranked contender Rolando Romero. Two undefeated fighters in a matchup for the ages. Live on pay-per-view Saturday, this Saturday, May 28th, 8 o'clock our time. Go to Showtime.com to order now. Gervonta Tank Davis, 26-0 with 24 knockouts. 26-0 with 24 knockouts. Considered one of the hardest punchers in all of boxing. And he is going to be taking on Romero, who is 14-0 with 12 knockouts. Man, you got a couple of guys who can knock people out here. So if you're looking for an impressive fight, guys who are throwing haymakers, I mean, it is a lighter division. It's the 135, but I'm going to tell you this: you're going to get some punching in here. This is going to happen. This is going to be fun. It is Saturday night. They've got three fights on the undercard. You got a co-main event as well in two-time division world champion Arislandi, the American Dream Lara, against Gary Spike O'Sullivan. So if you're looking for some fights on Saturday night, Gervonta Tank Davis and Rolando Romero in a championship bout with a nice co-main event, it's all at Showtime.com. Get to Showtime.com. That's Showtime.com.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the perfect...